Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
This week I was praying about a message to bring before you this morning, and preachers sometimes ask their wives what they think a good message might be. Sometimes you kind of feel like you're void of God's Spirit and you want to get a little input on a message. And so I asked Marilyn, I said, I want to preach a message on Sunday to encourage the people of our church. I know there's a lot of our people that are going through some trials and difficulties, and I guess just about everybody here that I know has some kind of a difficulty or a problem or something that you're going through. And I asked her, I said, what do you think I should preach about to try to encourage people at our church? And she said, well, why don't you preach on something that encourages you, and they would probably receive a blessing from it. And so I begin to think about that, about the thing that encourages me most of all when I feel depressed and cast down and discouraged and feel like I can't go on another day and maybe God's forgotten about me and my prayers aren't being answered and everything seems gloomy, and we all get down in the valley like that and wonder what tomorrow is going to be like. We maybe might fear the future or what can happen or what might happen, and our families and loved ones around us. And so one of the things that I thought about that is a great blessing to me in my life is I go back and I think about the times in my experience that God blessed me in ways that I never imagined, that when I would pray and God would hear the prayer. I go back and remember former deliverances, and sometimes in our experience we can be prone to forget the times that God has blessed us in the past, and to remember that if He's blessed us in the past, that surely He's not going to forsake us now, that He's going to continue to bless us. And you look back upon those times, and you, if you can go back and you can remember them, and you can remember how that you felt in your experience that there is no way that this can be erased. There is no way that anything good will ever happen in my life again. You begin to look around you and see the possibilities that might occur, how bad that it could possibly be. And then sometimes the Lord, when He delivers us, we totally forget how bad that it was in that experience. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. This is before David ascended the throne. It is at a time in the nation of Israel when they had forsaken the God that had brought them into the land of Canaan. And they had been subdued by the Philistines. They had lost their ark. The Philistines had taken the ark from them. And they were beginning to recover it. They were seeking God's face again. And they had met together to pray. And they were wanting to have the Lord bless them. And I'm just going to read a portion of this. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. It says, "And Samuel," he was the priest and the prophet of that day, "he spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together in Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them, and they came under Bethker. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now this morning I want to talk to you about Ebenezer, which, as we read here, is a stone of remembrance. Now Ebenezer was a place. It was a place where many things occurred for Israel. But this stone that they set up was a stone to remind them of the great victory that God had blessed them in that day when their enemies were pursuing them. Now Samuel was wise as he set up this stone, because later he knew that he could point to that stone when the children of Israel, when they felt cast down and that the Lord had forgotten them, he could say, "Look back at that stone that we've erected here. I want to remind you of that time when you were pursued by the Philistines, when it seemed like there was no hope for you, that your God came to your help and he delivered you from your enemies." It was set up as a stone of remembrance or a memorial. Now, memorials, that's why they build museums. That's why they put up statues and these stones. Well, there's one in Paris that we saw when we were over there called the Arc of Triumph. That's the way you say it in our native language. But it was a memorial that was placed there with the names of the valiant soldiers that had fought with Napoleon. And there's walls even in our country today with names of valiant soldiers. Maybe there may be. I think there's one in Malvern for the Vietnamese soldiers, for the soldiers that fought in Vietnam, and in other places with the names of the people upon them to remember them so that we wouldn't forget their names or the great sacrifice that they made for us in those wars. But Ebenezers are not built to remember people. They're built to remember God and his faithfulness to us all the days of our lives. And I believe that there's a lot of Ebenezers in our own lives that if we would just take the time to look back and remember those days that we called upon God and he blessed us and heard us, that you and I can receive some great encouragement in the darkest days of our lives. My first point this morning is to tell you that it's always been the habit of God's people to erect altars when God had helped them. You go back to the book of Genesis, and we read of a time when the Lord brought a great flood upon the earth. This is in Genesis chapter 8. And Noah had been in the ark for a year. 150 of those days, there was a great flood coming down from the skies. The sky was dark. It was raining. And I don't know how you picture Noah when all that was going on, but I don't believe that it was the most comforting time of his life. Now, some of you have been going through the dark days of January. We've got a few more coming up in February, and the clouds are in the sky, and the sun is not out, and you're stuck in a room, maybe you're in a house with your wife or your husband all that time. And sometimes being stuck in a house with your wife, and it's a blessing to have a husband and a wife, I will say. But, you know, sometimes you can, when there's nothing to do, you can't get out and do something. Or even if you're by yourself, it can be a most discouraging time. Now, can you imagine how it must have been with Noah being stuck in that boat for a whole year? And 150 of those days, which would be 5 months, he never saw the sun and it was raining the whole time. How discouraging that must have been. It can get depressing sometimes when you don't see the sun and it's raining all the time. And you can't get out and do anything. Well, he was stuck on board that ship and he couldn't get out and do anything. And the rain came down and the waters came up. And there was nothing that he could do except pray, feed the animals, or whatever you do on a boat that's floating around on the ocean for a whole year. Finally, the Lord, in his covenant blessings, abated the waters, and the big ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. And, of course, we know the story. He sends the dove out, and it comes back with an olive branch in his mouth and his beak. And the Lord says, "Open the doors and bring your family out." What is the first thing that Noah did when he got out finally on dry ground? We see people sometimes when they've been on the ocean for years or for a long time, the first thing they do is they crawl out on the ground and they kiss the earth and say, "I'm glad to be back to where on terra firma, to where there is some soil." It doesn't say that he did that. In verses 20 through 22, here is what Noah did. He built an Ebenezer. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything, living thing, as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. The first thing that Noah did was built an Ebenezer, an altar, and called upon the Lord. Not only him, but we read a little further down the scriptures. You just kind of go through the scriptures and you find all of God's people are building these things to look back on and remind them of deliverances that they received in their life. You go a little further in Genesis chapter 22, and there is Abraham, old faithful Abraham. We know of many trials that he had already been through, but God had finally blessed him with the promised child that he loved so very much. And if you only have one child, that child is, of course, very special to you. And it was that way with Abraham, and God called upon him in his greatest trial and temptation to take your son, your only son, and offer him as a burnt offering upon the mountain. Abraham, faithful to his God, headed for the mountain, knowing that God had promised it through this seed that the nation of Israel was going to be blessed. In his own mind, he knew that God was going to somehow deliver this son and keep him alive so that there would be a nation of Israel. But can you imagine what it must have been in the heart of this father, knowing that this son was going to be offered up as a burnt offering? And as he approached the mountain, he told those that were with him that I and the child shall return. He had great faith in God. But yet, you and I this morning, we have great faith in God, don't we? We believe that God exists. We believe that God can remove the mountains. We believe that God can cast them into the sea. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that God can do all kinds of things. But yet, when it comes to our own personal experience, that trial that you and I are going through, we wonder, how is this going to play out in our life? And I'm sure that was going through the mind of Abraham. How is this going to play out in my life? Am I really going to take this dagger and take it through my son's heart and offer him in a burnt offering? But we read in Genesis chapter 22 and verses 12 through 18, where God intervened the very last moment and said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and called behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as is seen this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Abraham built an altar and he called it Jehovah Jireh. This is the place where God is. Now, let me ask you a question. What if you and I had been delivered from problems, had great prayers answered in our lives, but yet you and I had never seen the hand of God in it? Could you imagine what it must have been like if Noah would have stepped off of that ship or that boat or that ark and said, you know, it was sure, I sure had a lot of luck in that. I mean, that water was pretty high. But, you know, thanks to my good hammer building and my building skills, I built this great boat. And I really did a good job in that. And I'm very lucky that I got through that one. You know, my friends, many times in our own personal experience, God heard our cries. He heard our prayers. He delivered us. But we never built an Ebenezer. We never stopped to take time to say, Lord, thank you. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to pause. I'm going to build this altar. And I'm going to give you a special thanks for this great deliverance that you have wrought in my life. Is that not our common frame? Is it not like us that when the Lord delivers us and blesses us in a great way that we say, man, I got that out of the way. Now, Lord, here's the next one. Let's move right on along here. This is the next big problem I'm dealing with, and I'm glad that one's over with. So let's get right on to the next one. We never build the Ebenezer. That's many times while we cannot look back in our experience and say, God, look what you did for me. Now, I don't know about you this morning, But I've got a lot of Ebenezers in my life. Sometimes I get a lot of blessings just stopping and pondering upon them. And I want to tell you the reason that I'm not bragging this morning about anything and saying I'm a spiritual person. I'm saying this, that I got to that place in my experience that I had never built an Ebenezer. And I want to say this morning, if you've never built an Ebenezer, today is the day to build it. You look back in your life. We were singing that song, Count Your Many Blessings. I encourage you this morning to look back in your life. And you can go now today and start building those Ebenezers and say, God was in this place. He blessed me. He heard my prayers. He did something for me in times past. And there is nothing that will encourage you more than to go back and think of the times that God has blessed you. Oh, you've got some Ebenezers this morning, no matter who you are. I believe the older that you are, the more Ebenezers that you have to build. I look out across our congregation this morning. I see some gray heads. And I'll tell you, if you got a gray head and you're in God's house this morning, you've got a bunch of Ebenezers that you can go back and build this morning. If you've not built some, start building them, because you'll get a blessing out of it. What about a time when that child was born and you were asking God to bless that child to be healthy? And the Lord blessed that child to come into this world with all their fingers and toes, and you were blessed with a healthy child. Did you build an Ebenezer for that? What about that time in your life that you were looking for a job and you didn't know what you were going to do, and God opened up the windows of heaven and blessed you with a job? Did you build an Ebenezer for that? What about that time that you had a doctor's report and you didn't know what was going to be found in that doctor's report, and God blessed you with a good doctor's report? Did you build an Ebenezer for that? Or what about that special person in your life this morning that maybe you're even sitting next to? What about the time that the Lord blessed that person to cast their eyes upon you and love you? I got an Ebenezer sitting back there this morning. I thank God for my wife. You know, there's a special blessing there that God has blessed us with. We got so many Ebenezers around us that if we would just stop and think about all the things that God has done for us, we would be building Ebenezers all day long and thanking God for those things. In Genesis chapter 28, there's another Ebenezer builder. His name was Jacob, and he had fled from his parents because of his problem with his brother. He lied to his father, and anyway, we find that he had left home, and his mother had sent him away fearing for his life, and he was out in the waste howling wilderness, and that's where you and I are this morning. We're in a waste howling wilderness. Matter of fact, not only are we in a waste howling wilderness, I'll ask you something. Do you have any Philistines in your life? You have any Philistines that are trying to tear you down, to destroy you? I'll tell you, you got some if you're a child of God. You got some Philistines out there, and they want to destroy you. And we need to be delivered from them. And here's Jacob out there, and he's headed away from his mama and his daddy. I can just see Jacob. He's probably a spoiled child, and he's never been away from home. And now he's having to leave home from mama and daddy in the care of mama. You can see mama loved him more than all others. He was a favored child and probably doted on him and waited on him. And now he's out in the wilderness, and he's wondering how in the world he's ever going to get back home again. And so he's out there, and he has to use some stones for a pillar. He doesn't have a nice feather pillow like we have at night or something soft. So he's out there in the wilderness, so he gets these rocks, and that's his pillow. And he lays himself down to sleep, and God appears to him. Isn't that the way that it works in our own experience, that God comes first? Did you know that God was doing things for us before you and I ever asked Him to do anything? I mean, we might even look back as we're building our Bethels this morning, and we might see some blessings that you and I had before we ever even called upon God. If you were born with a brain or with the ability to work, if you were born with any good thing, I'll tell you, God was looking on you before you ever saw the light of day. If you love God this morning, I want to tell you that God loved you first. That before you were born in this world, that He elected you, that He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, that He set His Spirit within you. You see, there's a lot of blessings that you and I can build Ebenezers to this morning that are spiritual blessings that we need to think about. Or even the person of Jesus Christ, that when He died upon the cross of Calvary, when He was thinking about us, That was before you and I were ever born into this world. Is that not an Ebenezer that you and I can build and say, Father, I want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that you sent into this world to die upon the cross for my sins before I was ever born into this world. Before I ever committed a sin, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had made atonement for it upon his cross. All redemption has been paid. I thank you, Lord, for that price. There's an Ebenezer that we can build there. And in Genesis chapter 8, or excuse me, chapter 28, here we find Jacob. And when he dreamed, it says there a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And there's God's providence in his life, watching over Jacob. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I'll tell you, my friends, this morning, wherever God is, it might be out in the wilderness, if God is there, it's the house of God, isn't it? If God is there, it is a great place. And it's the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it and called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at first. He built an Ebenezer. He built an Ebenezer that if there was ever a time in his experience that he could wonder if God even knew he existed, he could go back to that place and he could remember that time that God met him. If you have any oil this morning that you can pull up on your Bethels, that's prayer. If you have any thanks that you can give God this morning for those stones that you can set up, and remember that the Lord found you in a waste howling wilderness, that he set his love upon you, that he blessed you in ways that you and I could never imagine. So it was with Jacob. One little point I've got here that I think goes along with this is why, and I've already made this point already, why should we build these? It's because we have this tendency to forget the things that God has done with us. I think one of the worst things that can come to us in our times of discouragement and when we're cast down is to think that God has forgotten all about us. Do you ever get to that place in your experience that you think God's forgotten about you? That you think that your prayers aren't being heard because that you're the most insignificant creature on earth and maybe that you've sinned in such a way that God has forgotten you? Now, I know there's some young people here this morning. This sermon may not be for you. You may not have had enough experiences in your life yet that you really have gone through any dark waters. And I know there's some young people here that have gone through some dark waters. But I want to ask you, have you gone through some dark waters? Have you gone through some deep floods? Have you been in a place where you were thrown into a fiery furnace? Have there not been any lions in your experience or maybe some bears, like David went through, that you can look back and say, God delivered me in those things? These are all things that give us great encouragement in our experience. I think we should talk more about them in our lives. I think sometimes that helps to bring them to our remembrances if we'll bring them up more and talk about them. I know that there's some trials and things that the Lord has brought us through that we don't really want to talk about. There may be a great sin in your life that you had a difficulty conquering. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never had to conquer a sin, hallelujah, I'm glad for you. But I'll tell you something. There's a lot of sins in the lives of God's people that are great, great Philistines to overcome. Sin is one of the greatest problems that you and I face to overcome in our lives. Some have more than others. Some have great sins that are very difficult to overcome. But we read of many victors in God's word, how that the Lord cast out legions, how that God can bless us in a special way and enable us to overcome those Philistines as well. We find that David, in his life, that this was something that he did in his life. He would look back on those Ebenezer experiences and gain strength for the days to come. Remember the time when Goliath was standing out there in the valley and all of Israel was afraid. They were cowering away from this great Philistine giant. Even Saul, the great king, he would look upon Goliath, but he wouldn't go out and engage the enemy. He was like everybody else. He was cowering in the shadows while Goliath was out there, and he was making fun of their God and accusing them of being cowards. And here comes this little lad, David. And he stood before the great king and all the warriors and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to defy the armies of the living God?" And of course, his brothers were jealous over him. They said, "Well, who are you, you naughty little boy coming out here? You're supposed to be keeping the sheep. What do you think you're doing here in this area of battle? What do you think you can do anyway?" And David said, "What shall be done for the man that shall destroy this giant?" And they told him. And David said, "I'll go. I'll face that giant." They begin to inquire. King Saul said, "You're nothing but a little boy. You're going to go out there and face this giant? He's been a warrior all of his life. He's 10 foot tall. You're just inches. How are you going to face this great giant? And how are you going to face your giants, my friends? How are you going to face him?" Here's what David said. He looked back on his Ebenezers, and he remembered the times that God had delivered him in the past. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David said this to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant, thy servant, slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Where was David getting his strength? From his Ebenezer. He looked back in his own personal experience and remembered the time that God was with him and blessed him. And he said, "Surely, if God was with me then, he will be with me today." That little word where it says, "Hitherto the Lord has helped me," where he said the Ebenezer, that word "hitherto" means up until now. Up until now and today the Lord has helped me. That carries with it the thought that if God has been with us in the past, that he's not going to desert us today. I mean, that's something that has to sink down deep into our souls for us to remember that this God that remembered us before we ever called upon him, that thought upon us, before we ever knew his name, that he was remembering us, that today he is still with us and he's going to remember us. "Hitherto the Lord has helped us." We sing that song, "Come thou fount of every blessing. Teach my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I trust by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." That's one of my favorite songs in the book. The fount of every blessing is the person of Jesus Christ, isn't he? That's my next point. The victory that they obtained was not because of their own physical strength. If you are trying to face the Philistines on your own strength, you're going to get worn out. You're going to get discouraged, and you are going to get very depressed. But if you are looking to the Lamb, the place of your victory, to the God that loves you with an everlasting love, and looking back on your Ebenezers, that God has blessed you in the past and gotten through you through your trial, through your loss, through your suffering, whatever it was in your own experience, that He is not going to desert you today, then you can find a time to rejoice in your lives. If you will notice in this experience that when they called upon Samuel, they said, "Samuel, pray for us. The Philistines are coming." And Samuel began to pray, but did you notice what he did? He took a lamb, a suckling, and he offered him upon the offering, a picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As soon as the lamb was slaughtered and the smoke went up to heaven into the nostrils of God, the blessing began to descend upon the Israelites and the curse upon the foes. And the Bible says they began to smite them when the offering was made. Oh, my friends, let me say this, that many times you and I aren't getting a victory in our lives because we're not looking to the lamb. We're not making the offering. We're not remembering the Ebenezers. You'll notice that when they built those offerings, they were offering something up to God. They were thankful for what God had done for them. And they were building those places that they can look back and remember God. What about you this morning? Do you have some Ebenezers in your life that you can look back and say, you know, I do remember that time when I was really praying and I was really didn't know what was going to happen. But man, God came through for me. He blessed me. He heard my cry. And He delivered me in a time that I thought I would never be able to have another good day in my life. Did you build that Ebenezer on that occasion? Today, build it. Build it. Don't forget it. Sometimes I think the Lord doesn't bless us because we're not building our Ebenezers and thanking Him and offering that lamb. My final point is this, and that is that at times of these Ebenezers, there's a lot of things that we can do. When the Lord blesses us like He did Israel on that day, it's a time to rejoice. It's a time to rejoice. Sometimes we miss the rejoicing because we're just too busy. Oh, the Lord answered a prayer, but you know, I've got so much to do. I've got so many people I need to go see. I've got so many toys to play with. I've got so many things I really want to watch on television that God answered the prayer. But we didn't take that time to rejoice like they did on that day and thank the Lord. It's a time that we can look back and remember our conversion, that God blessed us to find Him in this life, that we wanted to make a public confession. When we were writing the church paper and noticed some of the articles that were in there about the members and their experience. Sister Jean's was in here this week, this month. I thought as I read those, wonderful, and Sister Betty and Brother Dallas had written theirs last month. I thought, you know what? There's an Ebenezer there. There was a day for this church, there was an Ebenezer. It was a day of revival. There was a day that somebody found the Lord, that they came forward and they made a public confession of Jesus Christ. They were baptized in His name. Did you know that every one of those are Ebenezers? They're stones. You and I ought to be building up a pile of stones every time that happens. How many of you here this morning can look back in this church? Some of you have been around here a lot longer than me. But you can remember those Ebenezers of those people that came forward. You can remember that time that you rejoiced, that the church was blessed, that there was revival in Zion. That somebody had found the Lord. The Lord had found them first, but they found the Lord. And they made a confession of Jesus Christ. That is an Ebenezer. An Ebenezer. Sometimes I wonder how I'm going to bring another sermon on Sunday morning. But I look back and I think, you know, the Lord's blessed me to have some kind of sermon. Some have been better than others, but He's blessed me to have some kind of sermon every Sunday. Will He not bless me to have one next Sunday? Hitherto. We need a revival in Zion. Is that possible? Is it possible for the Lord to pour out His Spirit? We see so much going on in churches today. I think sometimes today we're living in a day when people are trying to manufacture the Spirit of God. I mean, if they can make a lot of noise, if they can have a lot of programs, if they can, you know, cause a lot of things going on, they're trying to manufacture the Spirit of God. You know where I find the Spirit of God in the Scriptures? It's where I see people whose hearts are pricked. They see they're sinners. There's weeping. And there's people who have a desire to make a public confession of Christ. We see churches growing, prospering. That is a revival. But I say yes. There's been revivals in the past. God has not forsaken us. We see some Ebenezers back there in our days, do we not? There's been some times that God has visited His plantation, that He has blessed us with great ingatherings. There's been times there's been baptisms in this church. We look back and say, yes, God has blessed us in the past. He's going to bless us again. He's going to bless us again. Ebenezers. Times to rejoice. Times to thank God. And to get on our knees and say, God, thank You for that blessing. Let me build an Ebenezer here. Finally, one of the things we mentioned in our men's prayer group this morning is I asked the men that were there this morning, I said, next Sunday morning, I want you all to write down every special prayer that God has blessed you with. And let's share them next Sunday. So next Sunday morning in the men's prayer group, we're all writing down these Ebenezer experiences, and we're going to share them with one another. Now, I know, as I've said, there's some that are very private and personal you may not want to share. But I know that everyone has some Ebenezers they can share in the prayer group and say, God bless me like this. He heard my cries. Let us all look to the Ebenezers of our life. Not at our failures and disappointments. You know, if we look back and say, God, I made that mistake back there and it's really plagued me. Look at what I didn't do. Look at the mistakes I made. Look at the failures. I'm just nothing but a failure. Look at everything I've done in my life. Everything I've done wrong. I didn't do right for my kids. I didn't do right for my husband that day. My wife, I messed up. This job, I let it go. Look at all this stuff. You know, you look back. What does God want us to look at? Does He want us to look back at everything we've done wrong? No! He wants us to look back at the Ebenezers in our life and say, remember me. Remember what I did for you. Remember the blessing that you got for me in my when you prayed. I answered your prayer. Forget all of that. That's all negative. Look at me and remember who I am. I am your God. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He is an unchanging God. And if He blessed us in the past, He's going to bless us today. Let us build our Ebenezers. Let us look back and praise the God that blessed us. You read David's Psalms, it seems like in almost every one of his Psalms, he's thanking God for those Ebenezers in his life. May God bless us to look back on God for good and not look back on our past for evil. And to remember that God that we love this morning was there every step of the way, that He was blessing us in ways that we knew not. And let's thank Him. Let's make an offering. Let's make a sacrifice. Let's put the fat of the calf upon the altar and say, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for us. We give you the opportunity. You've not made a public confession of Jesus Christ in your life. If you love Him, if you think that if you believe that He died for you upon the cross for your sins, that you're going to see God in glory one day for everything that Christ has done for you, and you want to let everybody know that, we give you the opportunity to come forward and make your confession as we stand and sing. Let's sing that song. I think it's 22 or 23.
Thank you for listening to Elder Neil Phelan, Jr. preaching from Harmony Primitive Baptist Church in Donelson, Arkansas.